this is. 5 times Steve walked in on Eddie and Chrissy, and 1 time they walked in on him. A Stranger Things fanfic, written by Misty Sharks and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated R and contains the pairings Chrissy Cunningham, Eddie Munson, Chrissy Cunningham, Steve Harrington, Eddie Munson, with additional tags for 5 and 1, accidental voyeurism, pre-slash, if you can call it that when it's OT3, being walked in on, masturbation. It's pretty much exactly what you'd expect, and pretty silly. The sex parts aren't overly graphic. Chrissy and Eddie are in love. Steve's there. Future OT3 vibes. Sexual tension. Mentions of a dead raccoon. It's not real, though. Steve Harrington's 5 garages. Summary. In the aftermath of Vecna, Eddie and Chrissy can finally start dating like normal people. Steve's also there. A 5 and 1 fic. Othisnets. Chrissy Cunningham keeps haunting me like she's Hamilton and I'm Lin-Manuel Miranda, hounding me to write all the things I can't find in the Stedisi tag. So, here you go. One. The first time it happens, nobody is to blame. Not really. They're minutes away from their final showdown with Vecna, dressed in the finest battle gear the army surplus can provide, and for the first time since all of this started, Eddie and Chrissy are alone. She's the one to take the initiative, getting up on her tiptoes, cradling Eddie's face with a hopeful look. And listen, though a stolen RV has never been on Eddie's list of top 5 making out spots, he is not letting this opportunity slip him by. He meets her halfway, hopes that his breath isn't as disgusting as he imagines, and finally, he catches her lips in his. It is meant to be a kiss for luck, perhaps a promise of more later, if there is to be such a thing as later. With a hitched breath and a fist in his shirt, though, Chrissy quickly turns up the heat. That's definitely fueled by the adrenaline of the looming danger, as well as the days they've just spent circling each other. Quick touches and searching looks, finally reaching its apex in soft gasps and little moans as Eddie's confidence builds and he lets himself be just a little bit greedy, a little bit pushy, pulling her bottom lip in between his and biting down. If the noise she makes is anything to go by, Chrissy does not mind that in the slightest. And Eddie has just enough time to think, how the hell did I get this lucky? Before the door to the RV opens, followed by a very surprised-looking Steve Harrington, arms full of Molotov cocktails, makeshift spears, and God knows what else. There is a brief moment of frozen confusion, followed by a loud squeak from Chrissy as she hides her face against Eddie's chest, and an awkward laugh from Eddie himself, before Steve finally turns on his tail with a mouthed, "Sorry," over the shoulder, before he shimmies the door back closed with his hip. As first kisses go, though, Eddie still thinks it was pretty fucking fantastic. Two. The second time, however, it just might be Eddie's fault. The thing is, he's only just out of the hospital, battered and bruised, but back on his feet, finally. And Chrissy is a goddamn dream in her oversized jumper, biting her lip and asking if maybe they can do this thing in, like, a boyfriend-girlfriend kind of way. Jesus, he's only a human man, all right? You can't really blame him for forgetting the fact that Steve is still right outside, grabbing their bags from the car. And it's Chrissy, actually, that encourages them down on the sofa, straddling him in that suddenly confident way that he still isn't quite used to from her, but loves. And, yeah, maybe he loses track of anything and everything for a moment, letting his hand snake up her shirt to cup, just like a smidgen of a feel in the exact moment that Steve clears his throat from the very much still open, oops, trailer doorway. So yeah, maybe totally, absolutely, Eddie's bad, that one. Anyway. Three. The third time it happens, they blame it on the alcohol. Well, that, and the fact that Chrissy's parents absolutely hate Eddie, and Wayne has been hovering a bit since the whole near-death thing, so alone time has been hard to find, to say the least. So when they get a little too tipsy during a barbecue at Steve's, the upstairs bathroom starts looking more and more like the perfect solution to all their problems. If they had been less drunk, they might have remembered that after everything, their merry party has developed a tendency to worry. Steve, especially, with his mother hen fussing and guard dog vigilance. It would be sweet, really, if it hadn't manifested in a knock on the door at the exact moment Eddie gets his first proper taste of Chrissy. She's leaning on the sink, one of her legs up on his shoulder, fingers gripping onto the porcelain behind her, her breath hitching in surprise as he stills against her. "Everyone okay in there?" comes Steve's voice, soft and only slightly concerned. And Eddie should answer. Should pull his face away from between her legs, make some excuse since he is the less compromised of the two of them, and let Steve be on his merry way. But the thing most people forget about Eddie is that he's kind of an asshole when it comes down to it. And he really, really doesn't want to stop. So, he doesn't do any of that. Instead, he pushes a little closer, lets his tongue move again, tentatively, leaving some room for Chrissy to pull him off, but no protest comes. In fact, she tightens her grip, keeping him in place, and, oh, fuck, he likes her so much! After a moment of almost silence, the knock comes again. "Guys?" "Fine," Chrissy answers, a little too loud, as Eddie pushes his tongue lower, dipping inside. Totally fine. Be down in a minute." There's a moment of silence on the other side, as Steve's tipsy mind must be processing. Before, "Oh my god, really?" he says, and Eddie can hear his eye roll through the goddamn door. Steve leaves after that, though, with the muttered, all right, have fun, I guess." But to be honest, Eddie's kind of stopped listening. And Chrissy? Well, she's not complaining. Four. The fourth time it happens, it is absolutely Chrissy's fault. Because Eddie's determined to be good, okay? Sexual frustration and the lack of privacy be damned, Steve let them stay over out of the goodness of his heart. Which means no funny business in his guest room. Because they're friends now. And friends don't have sex in their friends' beds, right? That's bro code or whatever. What he hasn't accounted for, of course, is Chrissy. With her wandering hands and inviting lips and absolutely filthy whispers. Jesus H. Christ! And Eddie's morning wood is right there, okay? What is he supposed to do? Tell Chrissy, no, I don't think I would like a blowjob today, thank you very much. Yeah, no chance. Thank God for Steve's giant fluffy comforter being able to obscure most of what was happening below it, though. Because, of course, they've barely gotten started when the man himself casually sticks his head through the door. Hey, guys, I'm gonna have to clear out in a bit. Gonna drive Robin to school, he says. Casual as anything. Toothbrush still in hand. And Eddie's forgotten what a normal face is supposed to look like. In fact, now that he thinks about it, it is entirely possible that he's never made a normal face in his life. Meanwhile, though she's mercifully stopped the bobbing motion of her head, Chrissy's tongue is still very much actively moving on him, and this is revenge for the bathroom incident, isn't it? Shit. Yeah, okay, Eddie manages to bite out as her tongue swirls gently around the head of his dick. Be right there, followed by what is probably the most deranged smile to ever grace his face. And finger guns? Fuck. Cool. Robin made some waffles if you want to grab them on the way out. Steve continues, voice still normal, as he indicates with a toothbrush in the direction of the kitchen. They're a bit burnt, but still pretty good. He retreats from the doorway after that, giving Eddie exactly a second of relief when he thinks that maybe they're in the clear, before Steve stops the door with his hand just as it's about to close, sending one last smirk Eddie's way. Oh, and don't last too long, will you? Don't want to be late.
Yeah, okay. He definitely knows.
In the end, Eddie gets there embarrassingly quickly, before spending the entire rest of the morning shoveling burnt waffles into his mouth, because fuck if he's meeting anybody's eyes today. Five. The fifth time, they are really fucking careful, okay? And perhaps that is the problem. He's convinced Wayne to head out for the night with his drinking buddies. And Chrissy has lied to her parents about staying over at Robin's. And the Wookiee is turned off, the phone is unplugged, the door to the trailer is locked, and they are doing this. By the end of the night, Eddie is going to be a virgin no more, or he is going to die trying. Which isn't a very romantic sentiment, sure, but it makes Chrissy laugh when he says it, so... And it starts off so well! A romantic pizza dinner, because fuck you and your enforced diets, Laura Cunningham. Soft kisses on the counter, a movie half-watched as they make out on the sofa, lazy kisses turning passionate as the tension builds. They take their time removing each other's clothing, kissing scars and tattoos alike, giggling and gasping and breathing each other in, and it's perfect. So perfect. That when she finally tells him she's ready, rising up on her knees before sinking down on him inch by inch, it takes every ounce of his self-restraint to stop him from blowing his load right then and there. Slowly, they build up a rhythm. Foreheads touching and hands intertwined. And fuck, Eddie thinks that maybe death is on the table because Jesus Christ... And then, And then a voice emerges from just outside the trailer, causing both of them to freeze mid-motion. I bet he's just asleep or something. Jesus, Henderson, calm down. It's Steve's voice. Of course it's Steve's voice. Followed by the unmistakable jingling of keys in the door. And suddenly Eddie remembers, with startling clarity, that he's given his spare keys to Steve. In case of emergencies. Like, perhaps, if one of them went AWOL and unplugged their phone.
Ah, shit!
In the seconds they have before the door opens, they manage to share a look, both horribly aware that there is no way in hell they are going to get out of this situation in a dignified manner. At least Chrissy's skirt is covering her somewhat. And then the door opens. Outwards, thank fuck. And perhaps Steve had learnt something from all their previous encounters, because he only opens it a smidgen, sticking his head in, not leaving any room for any of the gaggle of children undoubtedly behind him to see. And he sends a quick prayer of thanks to God, Satan, Jesus, whoever is listening for that, and also for Steve, who takes one look at them, meeting Eddie's deer-in-the-headlights look with his own identical one, before he slams the door shut. "Steve, what the hell?" Henderson exclaims, cut off by Steve's strangled-sounding voice.
"Dead raccoon!"
"What?"
"There's a dead raccoon in there. Could be a health hazard. Your parents would kill me if I let you close to it. Also, actually, funny story, I just remembered Eddie told me he was going to the hideout tonight. Isn't that funny?" Totally slipped my mind.
He says it all in a loud, manic voice, and Dustin is definitely not going to believe any of it. But it seems to be enough to make them leave. Thank God. "Fuck, we're going to owe him the biggest cake after this," Eddie whispers, as their voices disappear in the distance, leaning forward into Chrissy's shoulder, hands a little shaky with adrenaline. Her answering, "Yeah," is a little weak, a little shaky, too.
"You, want to keep going?"
he asks after a moment of silence, because he's still kind of inside of her, and apparently his dick is still on board for some undoubtedly fucked up reason, and "is it bad if I say that I do?" she says, looking embarrassed. Oh, Chrissy, a woman of his own heart. "Not at all, sweetheart," he says, smiling into her hair. "Not at all." And one. They do bake him a cake. It's awful. The frosting is dry and cracked, and Eddie should not have been in charge of the piping because he managed to spell sorry wrong. And who does that? He's never shown up at the Harringtons unannounced before, though. And when they reach the door, he's worried suddenly. "What if his parents are home?" he says, hand hovering over the doorbell. "They definitely wouldn't be happy to see me." "I don't see a car," Chrissy counters, clearly not as worried. "Chrissy, he's got like 5 garages," he counters, which she admits is a fair point. They spend a few more minutes going over their options. "What if we leave the cake out here?" "In the rain?"
"We could break into his bedroom."
"You would break your neck climbing up."
"Hey!"
In the end, they decide the safest option is probably just to peek in through the living room window. This turns out to be a bad idea. Because, yeah, Steve's parents aren't home. Steve very much is, though. And he's clearly not expecting company. In fact, the lights are down low. And if it wasn't for the light of the TV, Steve wouldn't be visible at all where he's lying on the sofa. But he is. Lying on his back, his shirt tucked up into his armpits, his sweatpants pushed down just below his hips, and he's touching himself. There's no doubt about that. One hand on his dick and the other in his hair as he arches, a little shiny with sweat, against the sofa, and... holy shit! It's Chrissy's voice that says it, though he wholeheartedly agrees. And Eddie's just trying to reach out to stabilize himself, really. But the rain has made the windowsill slippery, and all his other hand can reach is Chrissy. And before he knows it, they are both tumbling into the flower bed, knocking one of the dead plants off of its pedestal, sending the pot crashing into the ground and them next to it. Chrissy's weight knocking the air out of him, and for a moment, he is sure he sees stars. And then the front door opens, to reveal a flustered-looking Steve squinting at them in the dark, clothes mercifully covering him properly now because Eddie's brain still hasn't decided where to file that image yet. When he sees that it's them, a little muddy and a lot embarrassed, who are hanging out of his flower bed, he relaxes visibly. "What the hell, guys?" he says. But there's not much fire behind his words. Eddie says intelligently. "We can explain," Chrissy says, gesturing vaguely where the bag containing the cake still sits on Steve's front porch. He bends over to pick it up, while Eddie and Chrissy try to detangle themselves with minimum mud transference. It goes poorly, and peers inside. "Sorry for the sex," Steve reads out, as he looks at the cake, brows furrowed. "It was meant to say, sorry you had to walk in on us in a delicate situation multiple times, but..." Eddie shrugs at Chrissy as he pulls her up from the ground. "It didn't fit," she fills in, and Steve sighs, shaking his head at them both, before opening the door wider behind himself. "Well, I guess this means we're even. Come on, they might as well come in if we're going to eat this thing." And they do. The next morning, Robin finds the cake, half-eaten in Steve's fridge, now only spelling out the sex, and asks a lot of pointed questions, none of which Steve is able to answer truthfully. She does figure out it has something to do with Eddie and Chrissy, though, and gives them both the stink eye for a week. Eddie's not sure if they deserve it or not. The end.